This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The national conversation sparked by the killing of George Floyd 1 year ago today has brought a lot of people to dig into the ways that inequality has touched our lives. One of the people seeking answers is Alexandria Hughes, an activist, a Black woman. She lives in Southeast Michigan. Michigan Radio's Beenish Ahmed reported in a feature that aired today about Hughes' family story, the things that her mother told Hughes and her brothers about how to try and protect themselves from the use of force by police. Alexandria Hughes wanted to find out if her mother's sense of police's focused attention on Black drivers was based in fact. So she started digging, and she's here to tell us more about what she found. Alexandria Hughes, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you for having me.
There may be folks here who didn't hear Beenish's story this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about your mother's advice?
Yes. Growing up, my mother would always tell me, you know, when dealing with police, to be polite, to keep my hands on the wheel, and to not give them a reason to use force, which meant having your paperwork together, is how she would put it. And this was at a young age. This was like middle school. And that's what she would tell me and my siblings, in preparation for what may happen. Hopefully not, but, you know, that was her being a protective mom, trying to prevent anything from happening.
Yeah. You have four brothers, right? And one sister?
Yes, I have four brothers. I have a sister. Pretty big family.
It seems like despite your mom's best efforts, they still had really difficult experiences with the police. Are there moments that stand out for you?
Absolutely. Moments that stand out most is the experiences my brother, my younger brother, Ayub had in Livonia with the police following him home. Keep in mind, you know, we weren't residents of Livonia. Following him home, and that happened multiple times. And also just how it shifted, you know, how his behavior was going forward. And just thinking about how other experiences he's had previously at a younger age, and, you know, before being an adult when that happened, being a minor when things happened, and that, and just other experiences I know my brothers have had. And it's hard to keep track of how many times they've been pulled over, to be quite honest.
Yeah. I know there was one incident where he was pulled over and ticketed for driving 1 mile over the speed limit.
Yes. that was pretty recent, like just 1 mile. Like, that is insane. That is, it's targeting.
Yeah.
You're just waiting. You're waiting for Black people to cross paths with you so you can pull us over. 1 mile is not harming anybody. If anything, we should be afraid that you're going to harm us.
You filed public records requests with two cities, Livonia and Dearborn. As you started to think what you could find out and what you could do about this, we should mention that you don't live in either city, but I take it these are places that you have occasion to drive through now and then?
Yeah, you know, Livonia, that being right by Redford, you know, city where family members are, like a lot of my family members, that's somewhere we would frequent through when I did live out there. And Dearborn is a place I work in, the place I graduated from college in. And I have many friends in Dearborn. And I want to be able to travel through these places without fearing for my life, fearing for my family. I wanted answers. And that's what I've been trying to do currently, is get those answers.
Can you sort of give us a thumbnail sketch of what you found out about traffic stops and who they impacted in both towns?
Yeah. So with Livonia, I saw that half of the people they arrest and half of the people that receive citations are Black. And this was 2019 data I was looking at. And also in the 2020 data, you see the same numbers. Now, some may say the numbers are a little lower in 2020. Maybe they are changing things. I challenge that by saying Governor Whitmore put in place a lot of regulations to the point where you couldn't arrest and cite people for certain, not having certain things together with their vehicle, for example. So I don't really give them credit for that. But the numbers are still almost half still.
Not to mention the fact that it was lockdown. I mean, people weren't driving as much, so you'd expect the numbers to go down, right?
Yes, exactly. So it was still substantially high for being Livonia being a city with less than 5%, according to the census, less than 5% is Black of the population there. So there's no excuse. And even in Dearborn, I'm seeing the same thing. In Dearborn, we happen to get data from 2010 to 2020. And even in that data, we see an increase in the amount of citations being issued to Black people, an increase in the amount of arrests, 56% of arrests happening to Black people. And in that data, even finding that there is a team that was once called the Border Crimes Initiatives team that is now named the TACT team. That name was changed this year. And that team borders, they watch Dearborn and Detroit, what happens in between the two places. And then that was where a lot of the citations came from, was from that team. So not only are you pulling over Black people, you have a task force designed to do that. And these are the things I found in the data. And it took a lot for me to look at all of it, if I'm being quite honest. It took a lot of breaks and other people that were able to assist, just because personally, it's just a lot to take in.
Right. We should say that in the course of this, you've become active with a group that's called Livonia Citizens Caring About Black Lives. And you and the group took the information that you got, went back to the city in Livonia, and explained what you'd found. What was it that you were asking them to do?
I was asking them to put in place policies that would prevent Black people from being harmed, harassed. A lot of the feedback I got was, we hear your story, we hear you, but that is not current Livonia. I've had council members tell me racism doesn't permeate the city of Livonia. I've had council members ignore what I was saying and other members of Livonia Citizens Group. I've had council members switch the conversation to talk about Chick-fil-A instead that was coming to Livonia and laughing about it. I'm like, okay. Just clearly disregarding the problem at hand. And it's not something you can deal with later. It's something really urgent. So it requires immediate action. And I'm not seeing that in Livonia.
Officials in Livonia, after you talked to them, started adding information about citations and arrests to its police department website. And the city's leaders charged the Human Relations Commission to make recommendations about police reform, kind of suggesting further, quote unquote, further study is needed. I want to read from a statement that Mayor Maureen Miller-Brosnan sent to our reporter, Beenish Ahmed. She writes, since the Human Relations Commission was reconstituted in June of 2020, it's met every month to serve as a space for the community to come together and hold important conversations about equity and inclusion. And she continues, I look forward to the commission continuing their work of providing recommendations on an ongoing basis. Alexandria, how do you respond to what Livonia says it's doing about this?
You know, I appreciate that effort being taken, but my worry is that doesn't immediately stop the problem. You know, having that commission to make recommendations, to look into things, look into, not solve, not stop, not provide a way for Black people to get justice if something happens to us again. I would like to see policy change that would prevent racist outcomes. And having police oversight commissions made up of civilians and people who are not biased and within the police department, that will provide a real chance for justice. Ending qualified immunity in Livonia will provide a chance for Black people to be able to defend ourselves from an institution that is supposed to protect us, that is not. That is really taking a chance and stepping out there and trying to solve the problem immediately. Because every day you don't, it's another Black person being harmed. Commissions only look into things. I appreciate the attempt. That is not enough.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Alexandria Hughes. She's done activist work in several Metro Detroit suburbs, informed by her family's experience of racial profiling by law enforcement and driving around in these predominantly white spaces. Alexandria, I wanted to ask you, you watched so much happen to your brothers and other Black people that you know. It's very clear that these experiences really mobilized you and activated you. Do you know why that is that you reacted to it in this way when it can be so deeply paralyzing for some people?
For me, I reacted to it this way because of what I keep seeing my family go through, what I see friends go through, how it personally affects me on a traumatic level, and because it's just simply not fair. You know, there's moments throughout my life that has put me more and more invested, and I just got fed up. I said, something has to stop. I'm going to do everything I can. I have to change this. I cannot live this way. Those are all the thoughts that would come in my mind as a youth and as a young adult and just as I go through life. And I just got to a point, I just had to try to solve it. And just Sandra Bland, seeing her die, and it was many parallels between myself and her, and not to say the others who passed due to the hands of police weren't as crucial they were, but with her, it was someone who was young, Black, college educated, an activist. It was someone who was way similar to myself, and I just needed to make a change on a major level. So just trying to do that.
We should say that, like, none of this is your day job. Your profession is in mental health as a behavior therapist. Would you say that that is in some ways informed what you felt like you needed to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Naturally, I've always been someone who loves to help people, who wants the best for everybody. And me as a behavior therapist, you know, I work with people of all shades, and I try to make everyone feel on the same level as anyone else in the room. And I feel like doing that every day and being a therapist, it helps to inform my work because I'm able to help other people and talk to other people in my family and really try to solve the problems. I would definitely say another reason, and not just relation to what keeps happening to Black people and police brutality, but my profession is connected to my work because I see a lack of energy put into mental health resources. And if we cared about each other more in each other's mental states, we would begin to understand what each person requires. What does humanity look like for someone who is Black? It looks different from someone who is white or Arab or Asian. And if we focused on mental health and we would start thinking about humanity, and that's another reason why I am so invested. I want us to get back to those. I want us to get to those things. Just get to them.
Yeah. It feels like this is probably a very delicate balance to talk people through. Sometimes taking action can be so cathartic and can give people more of a sense of agency, even when they feel all the weight of what's happening. And sometimes people just need to take care of themselves and have other spaces in their lives where the word police doesn't even come up. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit how you steer people through that, or maybe how you balance it yourself?
Balancing it all. It is tough. I'll say, honestly, self-care is a big thing I'm always preaching to a lot of people. And honestly, that's how I'm able to keep that space, able to deal with it when it does come up. There's not exactly a way to just keep it from coming up because America is about race. That is America. But I feel like you have to find a way to deal with it. And self-care is how I deal with it. And I feel a lot of people should deal with it.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you a bit about your activism in Dearborn. You are also part of the group Accountability for Dearborn, and your public records request there found that Black drivers were also ticketed in the city disproportionate to their population, like you said. And the response from the city is kind of interesting. Some city leaders told you that if you don't live in the city of Dearborn, which you don't, your concerns should not really be a large part of Dearborn's discussion. What did you think when you heard that?
I thought that was extremely racist to say to someone that my voice doesn't matter. That's essentially what it's saying. And knowing the history of Dearborn, that is the same thing they were saying back in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s. They were saying, keep Dearborn clean, which meant, according to Orville Hubbard, keep Dearborn non-Black. And that is exactly what they're saying. And that is exactly what they're doing with the police currently. Anybody should have the ability to travel wherever they want to. If I want to go and hang out with a friend in Dearborn, I should be able to do that.
So I know that you're going to a demonstration today ahead of a Dearborn City Council meeting. What do you hope is going to come out of this?
I hope to see City Council take action and put in place policies that will stop racism against Black people, that will stop racist outcomes from happening to Black people. I hope to see City Council pass resolutions to declare racism a public health crisis and put in place teams to start to look into the fabric of each department within the city of Dearborn that continues racism, because it does, and it will if no action is taken.
Do you still feel the danger that you were feeling 1 year ago at this time?
Yes, absolutely.
Alexandria Hughes, she lives in Southeast Michigan, works in the mental health field, and has been involved with the group Livonia Citizens Caring About Black Lives, and also with Accountability for Dearborn. Alexandria, thank you so much, and we wish you and your family a very safe summer.
Thank you so much.